This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon. Thanks for being here. As we cover a lot of different things around the Umpqua Valley. Periodically, we get Logan Bennett in here from the Oregon State University Extension Service. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me on, Kyle.
So we are here in the midst of fall right now, and I know you guys have a lot going on. Let's talk about some of the things that Extension has in terms of classes, workshops, and events, and then we'll talk more in a bit about this time of year in the county when it comes to ag.
Yeah, so I know
we're real close to the mic there.
Oh, sorry. I know we typically think of fall and winter as time to kind of wind down a little bit, but at the Extension office, we have decided not to do that. We still have plenty of things coming up as the year is ending. The next class that's coming up is called Flowers for a Cause. We're super excited about that one. It's going to be on December 6th, and it's sort of a class and a food drive at the same time. We're going to be teaching folks how to make wearable flower art, so things like boutonnieres, corsages, floral headbands. One of our master gardeners, Peg Sullivan, who's been a floral arrangement specialist for many years, is going to be leading that class, and it only costs 2 non-perishable food items to get in.
Wow. You know, when I read your release on this last week, first of all, I don't often see these three words together, wearable floral arrangements.
Kind of fun, right?
Suddenly, I was back in the 70s. but, I mean, other than boutonnieres, that all made sense. But what kind of wearable flower arrangements are there?
There's definitely the boutonnieres, there's this corsages, and then Peg has told us that there's going to be some kind of floral headband that we are going to be making, and I'm getting trained on how to make these things myself Thursday, so I'll have more information then.
Okay, well, so that class, and again, you're kind of doing two things at once, trying to help out the United Community Action Network at the same time.
Yeah, so this is part of a larger effort on a food drive that we're doing. So we're actually doing a food drive at the Extension office from now till December 19th. And so if donating food is something you're interested in doing, but not necessarily making floral arrangements, we do have a barrel there, which I noticed this morning is filled. So we're going to have to get a new one.
Well, that's a good problem to have.
Yes, very exciting. But the idea is that, you know, it's a good time to be helping our neighbors in need. And we're in a fortunate position, both where we're located and who we are, to be able to help raise food for our community. And we're giving folks a chance to both contribute and learn something.
Well, and as we've been sharing more information on different food drives going on, regardless of your thoughts about the federal government shutdown, one of the things that it really impacted was folks needing food.
Yeah, this time of year, no matter what year it is a good time to be raising food for folks because it's a time when folks tend to need it.
Yeah, so that is coming up again on December 6th. Do you need to sign up or just show up?
We prefer you sign up. You can sign up on the Extension website, but we'll also have signups there if you just want to show up.
All right, what else is coming up?
Yeah, so for the other part of the end of the year, we've got a few things going on. I'm going to be doing my first pruning class of the season on December 7th, so the day after the flower class. We're going to be doing that at a place called Hidden Springs Farm, which is super cool. They've got these sort of 2 to 5 year old trees. So if you've just planted an orchard and want to learn how to prune almost any fruit tree, this is a great place to be. We're going to be going through pruning, training, thinking about how to get fruit load for the next year. And you'll actually get a chance to get hands-on and prune some stuff as well.
And what part of the area is Hidden Springs Farm in?
It's out in Olalla area. So a little bit, I think that's would be sort of southwest of Looking Glass.
Right. So if people want to get involved in that, what do they do?
Yeah, so that one's on the website. That's another free class to sign up for. So check out our Extension events page. We've got everything that I'm going to talk about listed there today.
All right. And of course, you can get directions so you know exactly where you're going.
Yes. The actual address is listed when you sign up for the class.
All right. And later in December, I see you're still working hard at it.
Yeah. We're going to be doing some growing onions, shallots, and leeks classes. We're going to do them back to back. One on Sunday, December 14th from 2 to 4 p.m. And then one on Thursday, December 18th from 10 to noon.
And growing onions, shallots, and leeks. How popular is that?
You know, actually pretty popular. The kind of the interesting thing here is typically we don't think as December as a time to start planting, but we absolutely can be starting a lot of alliums during that time of year.
Interesting. Those are still three vegetables that I don't eat. But that's okay. You can enjoy them yourselves.
I got to tell you, a potato leek soup in December is an important thing to bring into your life.
Interesting. All right. Well, maybe I will just think about trying that out. Now, you've got other things going into January too, right?
Yeah, we have a bunch of classes coming up in January and really an exciting year. But before we get too far, I also want to talk about two natural resources programs we have in December. So we've got a class on landslides and forested landscapes coming up on December 3rd. So this is geologic processes, risk factors, things that impact landscapes in small forest areas. And what's important for this is it's for landowners and forestry professionals, but it's also worth Oregon professional logger credits and associated Oregon logger credits. It looks like 3 credits each.
And what is that again?
This is about landslides and forested landscapes.
But when?
Oh, excuse me. That's going to be December 3rd from 9 to 12:30. And this one does have a cost. It's $10 per person. So you'll want to check the extension website for that.
Well, and I know, I mean, when we have a wetter year sometimes or a period of heavy rain over a week or so and things get weakened, you start having these issues. And it's probably advisable to know, you know, what to do ahead of time.
Absolutely. And this class covers the slope stability issue and forest practices that will help reduce that potential for landslide.
Yeah, and so that again, especially if you're a property owner, you got a big investment there, and you know it's worth spending some money to not have a bigger problem later.
For sure, yeah, you don't want to lose it. It's really important to keep a healthy landscape and a safe landscape.
All right, and you've got one more?
Yeah, so this one's a little more fun. Thursday, December 11th from 1 to 3, the Extension Service will be hosting a wreath-making workshop. It's going to be at the fairgrounds. They've got a lot of room there, so there's going to be a fire pit. They're going to be serving apple cider and learn how to utilize those non-timber forest products into making something fun, like a holiday wreath.
So if somebody wanted to do that, do they need to bring anything with them?
You can bring things with you if you want, but they'll also have resources there. The class is going to be $20 a person, which I assume is going to be some of that greenery. So if you want to make your own wreath, you can bring things. Or if you want to learn how to make one with our materials, just show on up.
And what about, I mean, do you need to bring tools?
No, I think we'll have all that covered.
Okay, and again, how do you get signed up for that?
Yeah, so if you see one of our flyers around town, there's a QR code, or you can visit the Extension Services website.
All right, we'll be back with more with Logan Bennett in a moment. The interview podcast after 1 o'clock at 541radio.com, 1244 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1246, Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock, and more programs throughout the week we're putting together for Inside Douglas County. Logan Bennett from the Oregon State University Extension Service. Want to talk about ag in Douglas County this time of year, but I heard something last week about you picking up some kind of an award, and I realized that I really didn't know anything about that, and since you're here on the radio, we'll put you on the spot and let you explain it.
I did pick up an award, Kyle, and I've got to give credit where credit's due. That award is because of what we're doing right now. I got a communications award from Oregon State University, and that's because we've been meeting usually about monthly and giving agronomic tips for what's going on during that part of the season.
So is that something you had to sign up for? Or
no, I was actually surprised with it. So it was really kind of an honor to get, and thank you to the Extension Service and those who nominated me for it.
Wow. You know, those are the great surprises when you're at some event and you're like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. So I was super happy to get it. And I really appreciate the opportunity to come on the radio and talk about these things.
Well, agriculture is so big in Douglas County, and even people that are not directly involved with it. I mean, I'm in an office building. I wear a sport coat. I don't, you know, but yet you are involved with it because you're consuming the product.
Absolutely. It's one of our largest industries here in Douglas County. And if you're involved directly in farming, or if you go to the farmer's market, or you're eating local foods, yeah, it's a big part of our lives here.
Oh, well, good. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So, November and in Douglas County, let me jump ahead. I know you've got a number of things to cover, but one before I forget about it. In fact, somebody got a little carried away early, and there's allegedly a Christmas tree in our lobby. Not sure why it's there now, but I don't make those decisions. But for people that are doing the actual real tree, that one is not. What do they need to know about time frames for, you know, when to put a tree up in terms of making sure that it makes it through the season before, you know, so that you can leave it up through the end of the year, at least for Christmas?
Yeah, so I agree with you, Kyle. I tend to be in the camp of putting the Christmas tree up after Thanksgiving. That being said, my wife is not, so usually we have our Christmas tree up right about this time of year. And when you're going to run a Christmas tree this early, really the important things to do are make sure that you're picking a tree that's been fresh cut, that isn't dried out, and giving it lots of water. So it doesn't really matter if you choose a Doug fir, if you choose a noble or whatever kind of tree you want. Just make sure that when you go to purchase it, you're actually checking that tree to make sure that it's still hydrated. Sometimes that can mean pulling on the needles and making sure they don't come off super easily or they're not dried out and brittle. But try to get a tree that's as fresh as you can. If it's been more than 12 hours since that tree has been cut, you may want to take a quarter-inch cookie off the very bottom of the tree and then put it in a dish that can water it. So when we think about tree stands, we really want to think about a tree stand that holds at least a gallon of water, maybe 2 gallons of water, and be checking that every day because these trees will take up a ton of water. And if it's taking up enough water that you're losing a gallon a day and not refilling it, then it's going to dry out much faster.
Is there anything you can put in additive-wise to help?
That's a great question. There's a lot of stuff that is marketed towards tree preservation. I've seen everything from honey to soda to bleach, but none of that is particularly useful in helping the tree stay fresh. What it really needs is water.
And sometimes, you know, people get in situations where maybe they didn't get a tree that was as fresh as they thought, or there's also sometimes based on how the calendar works, especially if you're working with the Advent calendar and you've got a certain period of time and you get close to Christmas and boy, this tree is not looking good. I remember once being at a public event where we were quite nervous, the two trees in the room, whether or not they were going to make it through the Christmas Eve services because the timing just hadn't worked out and they hadn't been quite as fresh as we thought. And we had people standing by with fire extinguishers just in case. We didn't need them, but we had them just in case. So we kind of rethought our plan after that.
Yeah, my suggestion would be to try to avoid being in that situation. But if you are in that situation, definitely make sure you're not keeping your tree near any heat source. So not near the fireplace, not in direct sunlight, not near the heaters or the vents. And then if you're going to decorate that tree, really look at non-heat producing options. So some of the newer lights that are LED don't produce a lot of heat or no heat at all. Check the box. But make sure that you're reducing the amount of heat that's on that tree and keeping water on it.
All right. So let's talk about ag in Douglas County in November. What's going on?
So there's not a lot of harvesting happening, but there is still things to be done in agriculture. One of the main things is, like you mentioned earlier, we're starting to get towards the colder weather. So cleaning up and winterizing your irrigation system is a really good idea right now. Making sure that we don't have water left over in the pipes or in the drip line, anything like that. And while you're going through and winterizing, you can also check for breaks in your filters, your lines, and repair those. Get ready for next season.
Well, and not doing that sometimes gives you a dividend you don't want at a really bad time.
Yeah, it's not fun to turn on your irrigation in the spring and see all the holes popping out that you didn't intend to have.
Yeah. So what else do we need to look at?
Yeah, so this time of year is a good time to do a little bit of soil prep. Depending on when you do your soil samples, and I say that saying that you can do soil samples any time of the year, just make sure it's consistent. You can look for pH and nutrient levels and think about what you're going to do for next spring. This isn't a bad time to incorporate organic matter like compost into your soil, getting ready for next year. My big suggestion is if you didn't cover crop yet, either mulch or occultate, which means put some kind of barrier over the soil before next year. And then if you've got perennial beds, now is a good time to start mulching to help protect those roots and keep them somewhat warm.
And again, explain why cover crops, while they are work, can be beneficial.
Oh, absolutely. Cover crops are awesome. So they not only help prevent erosion, but they can scavenge nutrients if you've over-fertilized, or they can help build nutrients if you under-fertilized. So using something like a legume, like fava beans or a vetch, can help bring nutrients, specifically nitrogen, back into the soil. Whereas if you have too much of a specific nutrient, like phosphorus, you can plant cereal crops to help pull that out. And even if you don't have too much of a particular nutrient, you can do a cover crop mix that has both a legume and a cereal in it, and then incorporate it all back into the soil in the spring to help prevent that erosion and bring nutrients back in.
Now, we're familiar with dealing with pests and disease sometimes during the spring and summer, but people probably don't always think about it this time of year.
Yeah, so there are some things to be doing this time of year, especially if you have peaches. Now's the time to be thinking about peach leaf curl. That is sort of the bane of the peach grower, and it shows up every once in a while. So Valentine's Day and Thanksgiving, which is the one that's coming up more recent, are kind of the times to treat for that particular pest or pathogen, I should say. And then we want to be cleaning up the rows in the crops, specifically the perennial crops right now. So if you've got leaf matter on the ground that's infested, now's a good time to get rid of it. Things like blueberries, peaches, and cherries can all overwinter diseases. And leaving those leaves in the rows kind of helps exemplify that disease.
What about spraying?
Yeah, so peach leaf curl is one that you should be spraying for if you have it consistently. Also, if you're finding things like cankers or fungal infections within your orchard, it might be a good time to spray. And then now's the time to start thinking about dormant sprays. So you may still have leaves on the tree. You don't want to spray quite yet, but when we get to that real dormancy, it's time to spray for those.
What about slugs?
Yeah, so especially if you're running a winter garden, slugs are still an issue and they show up more with the rain. So now can be a good time to start baiting for those.
And firewood for a lot of people is a big deal this time of year. People don't always store it in the safest way possible, and sometimes that causes problems.
Yeah, so my big thing with firewood is check your firewood for pests, especially now with things like the emerald ash borer in Oregon. We want to make sure that we're buying our firewood locally. The idea would be buy it where you burn it. Don't bring it over large distances.
And as well, don't get it too close to the house.
Yeah, don't store your firewood directly against the house. That's a good call.
And what about winter maintenance?
Yeah, so now's a good time, whether you're running a big farm or have a small garden, to think about fixing up your tools. I know I've got a shovel at home I've got to put a new handle on. But also, think about the machines that you run outdoors. If you're not going to be running your chainsaw or your weed whacker, now's a good time to winterize them. Same thing with your four-wheelers or smaller tractors. If you're not going to be running them, now's a good time to winterize them.
And people, I know you're supposed to do that with the lawnmower. I'm a bad example of what not to do. But if you're not going to be mowing for a while, that's the time you can get it, you know, tuned up and worked on.
Absolutely. This is a good time to get machines serviced. And if they don't necessarily need servicing, it's a good time to pull the fuel out of them too, so we don't have stale fuel in the spring when we go to start up the machines.
Now, if somebody's thinking ahead for spring bulbs, et cetera, where would they be at this point?
Yeah, so we're kind of at the tail end of the season to plant your spring bulbs. So if you're going to do tulips, if you're going to do irises, something like that, now is kind of your last chance to get them in before it starts freezing. And I always recommend mulching your spring bulbs so that they don't get A, frozen, or B, eaten. I just planted a bunch of tulips, and I know they're tasty for deer, so they've got quite a bit of mulch on top of them.
Logan Bennett from the Oregon State University Extension Service, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.